Welcome back to Voices from the Frontlines. This is Damon Azali and Eric Mann, your host. We are very excited right now because we have Dr. Ruthie Gilmore on the phone. Ruthie, how are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you, Damon? How are you, Eric?
How are you, Ruthie? Good to hear you.
It's good to be here.
So I think the way I want to start this off is thinking about June 2005. When Delano II, the second prison in Delano, was opened, there were no other prisons on the books, plans, et cetera, et cetera. And I think a lot of anti-prison activists were like, okay, finally we got a break from 2.5 decades of prison construction. So after the special election, Schwarzenegger basically is trying to do a $7 billion construction plan to build prisons. So why don't you start off by telling us, what does the balance of forces look like? Is there anybody in the legislature that is fighting this? Where are the Democrats? Where are the prison guards union?
Okay, all good questions. Yes, as everybody knows, Schwarzenegger's proposed to build somewhere between 83,000 and 90,000 new prison and jail cells in California over the next few years. He's done a complete 180 on where we were a year ago. A year ago, Delano II opened, and at that time, the Department of Corrections was saying, we're not building anything more. We're not ever going to build another prison. We're done with that. He's also done a 180 on where his Blue Ribbon Independent Review Panel said he should be going. George Duke-Majan, who as the governor was called Iron George because he was so hard on anyone who could be caught in the web of what's called criminalization, who built the system, said we got to shrink it in order to fix it.
So what the actual plan provides for, I think in 2006, it's basically $2.6 billion. In 2010, it's $4.2 billion. So all this is for construction. There's no money as of yet from staffing, for staffing of this, which would cost up to something like $1 billion. Has he said anything in his recent press conferences that says where that money is going to come from?
No, there's not a word about where the money to staff these prisons and jails is going to come from. Only assurances that somehow, miraculously, the money to build them would come from three different sources. But if you look closely, you see that one source is a state tax bond, another source is a county tax bond, and the third source is actually a state tax bond given to the counties. So all the money comes out of the pockets of working people here in California who say over and over again they don't want more prisons. The Democrats, interestingly enough, the other day said that they are not for this prison plan, and Don Parada, who is the president pro tem of the California State Senate, acknowledged that California voters, quote, don't like to vote for jails, unquote.
Well,
That was one of the interesting things that they said about the polling, you know, of likely voters, which is key for white, middle-class, serial voters, that they don't like to spend for prisons. I think a lot of times the prison issue is on the budget and on money allocation and whatnot. One of the questions that I have is, what are folks doing? Because half of the 2.3 million people behind in cages are black, almost half of them. What is that like, the kind of, instead of the budget line on it, what's the kind of race line on it?
Well, the race line on it is exactly as you think it would be. If this state doubled the number of people in jail, which is what it would do, so think prison and jail separately for a minute, and jail, the number of people in county and city lockups. If this state doubled the number of people in jail, it would be doubling across the board black people, brown people, red people, poor white people, poor Asian people, right? That's exactly who would fill these 83,000 new jail cells.
And, I mean, I think one of the things in terms of just talking about the money, that's the whole appeal to white voters. I think one of the things that, and those white voters are either consciously or unconsciously, probably feel a little bit safer with more black and Latino folks in jail. Is there anybody actually agitating around the race question in terms of saying, like, this is not just a budget problem, but it's a race problem? Black people are locked up at crazy rates. Is there anybody saying that?
Some people are saying that. For example, there's a coalition two coalitions actually in the state that are working on trying to stop this this insane and racist plan, and they include advocates and activists whose work is principally anti-racist, so who are not only speaking to the money issue, but are speaking to the larger and more important social justice issue, and also pointing out that when these kinds of deals are put together, again, the pockets that get emptied to pay for them are the pockets of the very people who are also targeted to be locked up in them, and that is to say working people. That's who pays these taxes back.
But, hi, Ruthie, the problem for me is that that's the rational argument, but if we have a declining imperialism that is really in which large parts of the masses, especially the white masses, are in a perpetual crazed anti-black, anti-Latino, anti-immigrant, anti-women, anti-abortion, insane kind of web, if Christian evangelicalism is creating a virtual sense that the second coming is coming and that this is all a sign of sin, a lot of people will vote not their pocketbook, but in other words, you were talking about the anti-racist groups, mm-hmm. but we don't have any anti-racist Democrats. My concern, so here's how I see it, and I want you to respond. One is what I just said, the problem of the white voter. But the second is the Democratic Party has never meant anything that it doesn't like that it can build, whether it's a rail line to violate our civil rights on the bus riders' consent decree or the California Prison Guards Union. Democratic Party likes boondoggle construction projects, whether it's Auschwitz or prisons or anything else. So do you see those as two problems that we haven't addressed yet?
Well, one, in general, the Democrats have been as much, if not more, treacherous than the Republicans in terms of the entire prison expansion scheme that the state has been engaged in over the last 25 years. So when I say today the Democrats say they don't like the jails, I really mean today rather okay. than historically as a party. So thank you for bringing that clarification to the surface. The second thing is this is about around the irrational stuff, which is obviously important. One thing that I've learned working with community groups all over California and around the United States is this. The kind of thinking and feeling that goes into the approval of anti-black racist policy after policy after policy after policy may be a problem that we're quick to ascribe to, say, the white voter, but the problem is that the black voter and the brown voter are participating in it as well.
That's right.
And so a lot of the political work that we've had to do recently here in Los Angeles and around the country has been to sort of hunker down with voters of color and non-voters of color who, you know, are all different kinds of people who have, you know, have felonies on their, felony convictions on their records, or people who are immigrants, and talk about the ways in which the kinds of decisions that all sorts of ordinary people are making are undermining the possibility for brown people and black people to have anything in their future short of some kind of horrifying premature death. So that is really where the political edge is now, is working with people who have accepted the very principles through which the anti-black racist machine works.
So we're talking with Ruthie Gilmore, who is the author of Golden Gulag, will be published in USC. UC Press. Coming up in June. She's also a professor at USC in the Program of American Studies and Ethnicities and the Department of Geography. So Ruthie, just in terms of that, I mean, I think that's one of the critical pieces is like, how do we unravel the kind of ideological flag that is put around black and brown people's heads. So that's on one sense, but then there's also the reality of like, hey, on a certain level, there is gang violence. On a certain level, people are getting killed in the community. So if you were door knocking, what is your, because we have about 1.5 minutes left, what is your 1.5 minute rap about what really is going to change the system and keep people out of our communities, in particular, out of jail?
Well, the 1.5 minute rap starts with people who organize themselves stay out of trouble. People who rely on the system to come in and impose organization get into trouble. So the answer is organize yourself. An example of such self-organization is when many, many black and brown people came together long before the uprising of 1992 and put together that historic gang truce. What happened was these little, separate, antagonistic organizations came together and organized themselves, and they organized themselves so they could stop being shot down in the street by the cops or each other. That's an example of what it is that people should do, and it's what people have done. So it's an example, not pie in the sky, but an example of what ordinary people who are committed to enhancing their own lives and the life chances of their children do in communities like Los Angeles every single day.
And the last 30 seconds or 8 to 18 seconds is, how do we reach you? Are you with a group? Who's doing anything to stop Schwarzenegger? How do we get involved?
Okay, three groups. No New Jails Coalition, based right here in Los Angeles. We meet the first Monday of the month at 6 p.m. at 253 West Martin Luther King Boulevard. It's the home of the Youth Justice Coalition. That's the first Monday of the month at 6 p.m. Also, Californians United for a Responsible Budget, or CURB, don't let the name fool you, is working statewide, and there's a website that you can go to get information, talking points, and get involved. It's called www.curbprisonspending.org. Critical Resistance is working on this. California Prison Moratorium Project is working on this. They both have websites. There are people around here in the Southland who need your help and need your energy.
So we'd like to thank Dr. Ruthie Gilmore for being on the show. We would also like to thank Joe Berry, our first guest, Tambang Lu and Manuel Criollo from Venezuela. Today we heard music from Gangstar, Simon Diaz, Digable Planets, and The Clash is coming on right now from Maggie LaPique, our engineer. You can listen to previous shows at www.thestrategycenter.org, and you can send comments to voices@thestrategycenter.org. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, our production assistant, Lisa Adler, and we'll see you next week from Voices from the Front Lines. Don't miss 8 p.m., the strategy session with Antonio Gonzalez, and up next is Terrence McNally sitting in for Susie Weissman.